Okay, first of all, thank you for the opportunity of being here tonight and being able to give this report to you, a more up-to-date report. I'm very thankful that my family has a spiritual home to come to where we can realize that God is taking care of them. This is a big issue for us when our kids leave home and become part of another culture from ours, and we're just thankful for what the assembly has provided for them. Thank you. Thank you so much. I'd like to look at a few Proverbs before we start this evening. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 28. And we'll look first of all at verse 16. Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 16. I'm reading from the NIV. A tyrannical ruler lacks judgment, but he who hates ill-gotten gain will enjoy a long life. Very interesting. Let's go to chapter 29, verse 2. It says, when the righteous thrive, the people rejoice. When the wicked rule, the people groan. Verse 4, by justice a king gives a country stability, but one who is greedy for bribes tears it down. And I would say last of all, let's look at verse 12. If a ruler listens to lies, all of his officials become wicked. We left home a week ago Sunday on an early flight from the city of Campinas, and that particular day had been chosen for a tremendous manifestation all over the country of Brazil. Because of the type of government we are having to deal with at the present time, which is thoroughly corrupt, all the way down the line. And the people wanted to make sure that their voice was heard. Unfortunately, the government isn't giving too much heed to this. We did receive nearly 50 years ago, a democratic government in Brazil, which was supposed to reflect the voice of the people, and yet today that is not the case at all. The voice of the people is not being heard, despite the fact that there were outstanding demonstrations. When we got here on Monday, we learned about the situation that had taken Brazil, and saw the headlines from the New York Times, which said this: Brazil sinks in the biggest case of corruption in a democratic country in the history of the modern world. And that's what we're faced with at the present time. The people want the president of Brazil, who is a lady. They want her impeached. The procedures are going on at the present time. But the problem is that if she is impeached, who is going to take over? She is facing improperly used money for her own interests in Brazil, for dealing with her own budgets that she has planned, especially for the poor people. But if she becomes impeached, the vice president is also under scrutiny over claims that he was involved in an illegal ethanol purchasing scheme. That means perhaps we would have to go to the chief of staff, and yet he's in prison at the present time. Then we would have to go to the Senate president, and he's under investigation over claims of receiving bribes from the Petrobras scandal that has worked its way through the country. The opposition leader, who almost won the last elections, he is also under fire over revelations that his family maintains secret bank accounts in offshore bankings. He denied the fact, but it was discovered. And then you would go down to the president of the lower house of Congress, and he's been charged as taking as much as $40 million in bribes for himself and for his allies. And then, of course, if you were to go to the Congress is faced with serious charges as well. In the opposition party, there are 71 people who are under scrutiny at the present time. In the actual government part, there are 82. So what's left over is not very much. And we have never seen anything like this before. It reminds me of a book that I read many years ago in Brazil, written by a medical doctor, when he talked about Brazil being on the margin of history. And in dealing with this, he mentioned the fact that such countries that have been reached by the gospel, for example, our own country here in the United States, being reached basically by those who had come from Britain and other places, those who had come to this country as settlers came with the idea of bringing God and having religious freedom. But when you think of Latin America, which is composed basically of those who were discovered by Portugal and Spain, they were not looking for God to be the principle of their life. They were looking for gold. And this has become the thought pattern of the people all along. And this corruption is not only in the upper levels of society. This corruption goes to every level of society. And although the people complain, they are doing the very same thing that the government is judged for. And it has posed a real problem. Boy, this week, at the beginning of this week, I wondered if we were even going to return, depending upon the situation. But this government has to go. And I would appreciate it if the assembly would be praying for about this matter, because it is very, very serious. Very serious. I'd just like to mention something about my ministry, first of all, and then give you some glimpses into what my wife is involved in. My own particular ministry has been basically in Bible exposition in the assemblies in the country. There are two assemblies basically in the city of São Paulo that I've been working with. One is on the very outskirts of the city. It takes us about an hour and a half, an hour and 40 minutes to get there. But they are very anxious to hear the teaching of the Word of God. It's a rather new assembly, but very attentive to God's Word. And at the present time, we're going through the prayer of Hannah. And the reason why we're going through this prayer is to show how one deals biblically with problems in one's own life, and yet at the same time, dealing with these problems biblically, it has far-reaching results. When you think of the fact that the child Samuel that was born as a result of that became the principal prophet to set up a situation in which Israel would be victorious. against their enemies at that time. But it's an encouragement to realize that even though you're focused on your own particular problem, this can have tremendous influence as it spreads its way around to different areas. The third Sunday each month is spent in our home assembly, which is called the Bosque, which is the forest. It's not really a forest anymore, maybe a concrete forest. And on the Sunday mornings, I'm taking up the a verse-by-verse exposition of James. I haven't gotten through the first chapter yet after a year and a half, but but there's so much rich teaching in that passage. And then in the evening, I'm taking up the Gospel of John and taking that up paragraph by paragraph. But one of the things that has been encouraging to us over the last year or so is that we have about four young men who are promising Bible teachers. And they are having a very fruitful ministry in the local assembly. So this is one of the reasons why I feel that I can be free to spend more time in other local assemblies, because they are doing an excellent job. Some of them are being prepared at the present time to become future elders in the assembly, and I think this is a tremendous effort that is being worked on by the assembly. But I have other Sundays in the month where I am free to accept other invitations, and I do love to get around and visit other areas. This particular year, we've had two very interesting experiences with the assemblies, because the assemblies have invited both myself and my wife to go and spend a weekend with these assemblies, starting on a Friday night and going to Sunday evening. And they asked me to speak to the men, and Eleni speaks to the women. And this has been a tremendous opportunity for them. Because oftentimes the women don't get a ministry that is more geared to themselves, but they are facing problems in their own lives as well, and this has been a source of encouragement. After my visit to you last year, I was invited upcountry to an area where the assemblies are beginning to develop, and I was so taken back because they had an audience of near between 2,000 and 3,000 people at these meetings, and they have a portion outside the building. They have a large property just like yourselves, and they just have a sort of a temporary building on the outside where they hold these conferences. And it is just for this one particular state, but very encouraging assemblies are coming into existence and thriving in this particular area. A very well-organized ministry that is being carried on by the Brazilians themselves. There is no missionary influence whatsoever. And they feed these people. Let me give you an idea. That will take in about 7 cows during those 3 days. But they have this thing so organized that people walk through a turnstile and they go and get their meal and come out the other direction. So there's no confusion whatsoever. They have really gotten this thing together in a remarkable way. Another area that has interested me, both my wife and myself, is in the area of biblical counseling. And we have become convinced that God's Word is sufficient in itself to deal with problems, even complex problems in the lives of the believers. In fact, one of the issues that has risen in evangelical churches in Brazil is the Bible sufficient? Is it adequate? And I believe that you can only answer that question when you answer two more questions. The first question is, what are the basic problems that are being faced by believers today? And what are the solutions? And on this last trip that both my wife and I were together on, I took up the Psalm 23. And it was very interesting to look into the psalm, because one of the issues that is being dealt with, of course, in the lives of the believers is sin. And of course, this results in guilt. Now, if you go outside of any biblical counseling, the idea of sin or guilt just doesn't exist, and they won't go that way. I remember one time we were at a medical congress, and they had a table of various professionals dealing with this whole issue of guilt, and they thought that they had discussed this adequately, when one doctor, a Christian doctor in the audience, raised his hand and he says, "I would like to ask a question." He says, "I am an oncologist, and I have problems with my patients because most of them have suffered cancer because of the fact that they have problems with guilt in their life. Now, how do you folks deal with that?" Of course, they didn't have an answer for that. But he says, "That's what I am faced with in my practice of medicine." And then, of course, another area in which people seek counsel today is when they are being sinned against by other people. Right? Another area is we live in a world whose system is completely opposed to Christ. Opposed to Christ. So that in any form of counseling outside the Bible, you are not even allowed to open the scriptures, or you can lose your license. We live in a world that is limited in its understanding, because the beginning of wisdom is the knowledge of God. So this is why we have such a limited knowledge in people around us, and why there is so much confusion. We live in a world that really does not understand satanic activity. And how we deal with death, or even the whole issue of dying. And when you stop to think of that, the only answers that really exist in all of these areas is the Bible. And that's why we need to stick with the scriptures when we deal with issues like this. I'd like to mention something about my wife's ministry. She's been a hospital chaplain for 33 years. She was trained in one of the largest hospitals in São Paulo, if not the largest hospital. In this ministry, it is a 24/7 ministry, because they offer us an office inside of each of the hospitals where we can work out of. And the ministry requires this office, and makes the ministry so much easier to deal with. And part of the ministry involves training other people to do this ministry. This ministry is spreading throughout Brazil. And we're so thankful for the fact that God has still given us an open door in this ministry. We have absolute freedom to talk about the gospel inside of a hospital building. And I'm going to have to watch my voice. Every year, we offer a course in training people for this ministry that involves around 400 hours of theory and also of hands-on practical training. I'm sorry for that. Okay. My wife at the present time is primarily dealing with the area of palliative care. Oh, thank you, brother. I have some in my jacket. But I'll need some more water. Palliative care is when medicine has no longer any effectiveness in dealing with people's problems. So what they try to do is to ease the life of this person as they edge off into eternity. She has been asked to write articles for medical journals and medical books along these lines. And she wonderfully weaves the gospel into those presentations. And they don't mess around with her text at all. They leave it exactly the way it is. And we're so thankful for that. This is part of our team. We are into 11 different hospitals, big hospitals, in the city of São Paulo. And then, of course, around the country, we're into close to 250 hospitals with this ministry. People that have been trained, and also into several different countries. Now, the scope of the ministry reaches out to patients. It reaches out to the families of the patients. It reaches out to the health professionals and offers every one of these some peace of mind that comes through the teaching of God's Word. And we're so thankful for these opportunities. This ministry involves bed-to-bed visitation and the privilege of being able to work every single day in the hospital offers you a consistent visitation to many of these patients while they're in the hospital, because oftentimes their first reaction is one of refusal. But then they begin to see what is taking place in the life of other people. It offers us the privilege of counseling. Oftentimes we have musicians that come in and choirs that give presentations. And they're supposed to keep in the corridors of the hospital, but the patients invite them into their rooms. And they want to hear more about this as well. The chaplaincy ministry also offers handcrafts for the patients for the time that they're in the hospital and to the health professionals as well. The Bible Society of Brazil is probably the most active Bible society in the world, and they offer us tons of literature per month, free literature to be distributed in the hospitals. There's the participation and organization of medical congresses, and this has been a tremendous outreach. And the last congress that was held in the Presbyterian University, which is one of the well-known universities in São Paulo, so that we were free to present the gospel in our lectures as well. And many of those who came as professionals to teach at this time were very moved with what had been spoken through those who are Christians. So these are some of the participations. This is a group of doctors who come back twice during the week in order to sing and to play for their patients. So the patient gets an all-round type of care given to them, and they're absolutely impressed with the fact that the doctor has other capabilities as well, besides just his medical attention. There's also home visitation for those who are outpatients and have been spent some time in the hospital. And then there are 7 minutes of devotionals that are held in the nursing stations. And it is possible to read the scriptures with them. It's possible to ask for their prayer requests, and we pray for them. And what a difference this has made in the question of humanity in the hospitals. And oftentimes those who are not being reached are complaining, we want the same thing as well. So we're so thankful for that. Then last of all, I want to mention the ministry of the Cozy House, which I don't think has come up yet. The Cozy House is meeting the needs of children with cancer and take care of their parents as well, because they come from all parts of Brazil. There's no place for these people to really keep them during the time that they're in the city of São Paulo. But we do offer them this home where they can come, they can get a meal a day, they can get a place to rest, they can get a place to wash their clothes, they can listen to the scriptures that are presented to them through. We offer them counseling as well, and many have come to know the Lord as their Savior as a result of it. So there are meals on a daily basis. There is clothing that is being supplied for them, because most of these people sleep in one of these chairs in a hospital, because all parents are obliged to stay with their children the whole time they're in the hospital. So, but no provision is really made for that at the present time. As a result of these 11 hospitals in São Paulo, we've been able to reach out to around 800,000 people on a yearly basis. Now, when you stop to think of how many people come into a local church, it doesn't even come close to that. So the privilege of going into these hospitals offers us a tremendous ministry. And then there are training courses that are being offered on three different levels. The first level, we train people how for general preparation in just visiting in a hospital, which is very, very important. We teach them how to listen to people, what they have to say. We don't go in there with prefabbed messages. We listen to the patient. He oftentimes will give us a key word that he repeats over and over again in his discussion with us, and we take advantage of that key word and we present the gospel to them. And then on the second level, we are dealing with specific areas of hospital chaplaincy, like cancer or psychiatric wards or other areas as well, and give them a thorough idea of what goes on in each section of the hospital. And then the third level is really preparation for chaplains. And once a person leaves after this entire program, which involves around 900 hours of preparation, of theory and also of hands-on personalized training, then they go out and they look for the possibility of opening up one of their own hospitals for this particular ministry. And L&E offers a consulting ministry along those lines where they can be helped so that they can have a good ministry settled right from the very beginning. We've had to pose, or other evangelical groups, or mainly Pentecostal groups, have given problems because of their tendency to heal patients. And oftentimes they'll take away the treatment that is being given. And this poses a real problem. And the hospital directors don't want anything to do with evangelicals. So we're so thankful that we make a contract with the hospital. We have special clothing that we use in the hospital. We have, I'm trying to think of what the word is, an identification badge, which identifies us as a ministry in the hospital. We work along with the hospital teams. We're part of the team. We're recognized as part of the team. And of course, this makes a big difference. So that when problems come up in the hospital, we ask them, what type of clothing were they using? Did they have identification badge on them? No. Well, then it wasn't a problem of ours. So, but we want to ask you to pray for this ministry because it is still a wide open door in Brazil. We don't know how long, but as long as it is open, we want to take advantage of it. And we ask for your help and your prayers along these lines. Thank you for your attention to the report this evening. Okay.